chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud.
All right. Welcome in, guys. Farzi Masugian here with you for another episode of the Chief Zone podcast. Happy to be with you on this Thursday night. Appreciate those who are watching and listening live on Facebook and YouTube. And for everyone else out there on the podcast version of the episode, whether it's on Spotify, Google, iHeartRadio, Apple, all of those places. Appreciate all of you guys very much for taking the time to download and listen to the podcast and make it part of your day. Not a lot to talk about on this episode of the podcast. Some things to get into for sure. On the docket for today's podcast, Rashi Rice, a warrant was out for his arrest, and he has turned himself in. And we just learned moments ago, as I do this live late Thursday, close to 9 p.m., he has been released. What does this mean for the Chiefs moving forward? We'll talk about all of that. A lot to get into there. A former 49ers Pro Bowler made a lot of excuses about the 49ers losing in the Super Bowl. We are definitely going to be talking about that. And a little bit of an update on Kansas City Chiefs superfan, Chiefsaholic, Xavier Babudar. Yes, we'll be talking a little Chiefsaholic on this episode. Appreciate all of you guys taking the time to watch. I see all of you guys coming into the live chat. Hello, hello. Happy Thursday to all of you. Happy National Pet Day. That is a thing, of course. So I put up a post earlier today. You know, drop your pictures below of your pet in Chiefs gear. I know you guys have them, so it's never too late to join in on the conversation on that. So go participate in that one while listening to this live chat. So go ahead and do that. Want to let you guys know this podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Baseball season is in full swing, and the Royals looking pretty good in the early goings of the Major League Baseball season. Seven straight, and if you want to go check out the boys in blue or any baseball team out there, you can go to SeatGeek.com for your ticketing needs. Check out Major League Baseball, NBA, NHL playoffs coming up very soon. And if you've never purchased from SeatGeek before, you can use my promo code Farzine and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Go to SeatGeek.com and at checkout, if you're a new SeatGeek customer, use my promo code Farzine and you will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. All right, let's get right into it. The breaking news. This week, we learned that Rashi Rice, there was a warrant for his arrest, and it is important that we get the details of this correct, because there are a lot of different things out there regarding, you know, what's true, what's not true, and these kinds of things, legal matter. It's always important to get the facts straight on all of this here. So let me just get the screen share up here. So for those of you who are watching on Facebook and YouTube, you guys can follow along with me. But there you have it. Rashi Rice, we learned Wednesday afternoon that eight charges have been filed against Rice. So here are the eight charges. One charge for count of collision involving serious bodily injury. That one surprised a lot of people because from what was reported, there had not been any serious injuries. Now, I will say this, and I don't like to compare incidents. It's just not something I just don't like comparing incidents. But I will say this, in the Britt Reid incident, we did not know right away the severity of Ariel Young's injury, the 5-year-old girl at the time. And what she had been going through. We just learned that a 5-year-old was seriously injured. We did not know the severity of it. And when the details came out, I think a lot of people were very upset with Britt Reid and what he had done, especially just a couple of days before big game. One count of aggravated assault, that also surprised some people out there. And then six counts of collision involving bodily injury. So not good whatsoever for Rashi Rice. So some pretty bad news on that front right there. Yeah, Robert is saying a suspension coming for sure. Yeah, 100%. Now, when is the suspension going to be handed down? How many games? The NFL is so inconsistent. I know a lot of people mentioned Willie Gay got 4 games for a vacuum. Frank Clark got 2 games for carrying an Uzi. I think Greg Hardy got 8 games for domestic violence. If you include being on the commissioner's exempt list and the 1 game out of suspension, I think it was 6 games altogether for Justin Ross and his domestic violence incident. I know the details on that are not very clear. But overall, in general, you know, the suspension, I know a lot of people are mentioning Alvin Kamara and the number of games he got on there and how it's different. It just doesn't make sense. The NFL, their fines, punishments, all of those things don't necessarily add up at the end of the day. Now, it is worth noting Rashi Rice earlier today, and the exact timing is not necessarily clear, but he did turn himself in. According to Matt Howerton, he turned himself into DeSoto PD. Now, there have been conflicting reports that I have seen out there. There was one media outlet saying he turned himself into Glen Heights PD. I thought it was Dallas PD originally. So which police department he turned himself into, those details, there are some conflicting reports there. So I'm clarifying on that because I did mention Dallas PD, so I apologize for that. Definitely want to make sure that is you know, there's no incorrect information. There's no misinformation on my end. And if there is, I definitely need to clear that up. So not exactly sure which PD he turned himself into. According to this reporter right here, you see on your screen, Matt Howerton, his tweet that I have on here, it does mention DeSoto PD. So according to Howerton, DeSoto PD, and he went to DeSoto jail, no longer in jail though, after posting a $40,000 bond. So Rashi Rice, his mugshot has been released, and he's also been released from DeSoto jail. Not released from the Chiefs, not released from the Chiefs, but released from DeSoto. Glen Heights and Dallas County. Okay, I appreciate that. I'm not up to speed on any of that. So I appreciate the clarification on that, Linda. Yeah, he's getting suspended 100%. And, you know, I mean, that's really all we can say on that front right there, because he's going to get suspended. We just don't know how many games. Now, here's the other part of it. And by the way, for those of you who are watching on the Facebook page or on the YouTube page, if you guys can, please give the video a like. And for those of you who are watching on Facebook, because I see a lot of you guys are here right now, if you guys would, please subscribe to the YouTube channel. I just commented below with the link to the YouTube channel. So if for those of you who are on there, if you guys can subscribe to the YouTube channel as well, I would greatly appreciate that. Trying to get a certain volume number of subscribers on there as well. I know the Facebook numbers are really high, and I appreciate you guys. I'm definitely trying to get the YouTube numbers up as well. Reading an update here from Josina Anderson, basically saying that what I've been telling you guys. So she's a bit late on that, but that's okay. I mean, it's not a race at the end of the day. But as far as what the Chiefs are going to do in the draft now, with their wide receiver situation, because we don't know when the NFL is going to come down with a suspension. We have no idea. And again, I mentioned before, the timings of these things don't ever add up. But even before that incident on March the 31st, I still truly believe that the Chiefs were set on drafting a wide receiver anyway within the first 2 rounds. I would be very surprised pre-Rashi Rice incident if the Chiefs did not go for a wide receiver, because the wide receiver room still has a lot of room to grow right now. A lot of room to grow. So I guess now, at the end of the day, maybe the Chiefs are going to be a little more aggressive with the wide receiver position if there's a wide receiver they really like. Because it can't just be Hollywood Brown and Travis Kelce. I mean, who do you have? Because if Rashi Rice does get suspended for the first 2, 4, 6 games, 8 games, whatever it's going to be, he's not going to be on the 53-man roster to open up the 2024 season. So who's going to be that wide receiver opposite of Hollywood Brown? Is it going to be Kadarius Toney? Is it going to be Sky Moore? Is it going to be Justin Ross? Is it going to be Justin Watson? Those are not very enticing names right now. Those are not names. I mean, Justin Watson, he had a lot of drops, but he was your second most productive wide receiver this season. Yeah, MVS did step up during the season. And I will say this, I know the Chiefs brought him back, and we got to be careful not to think emotionally on this either. But he is a very young guy at the end of the day. And I kind of wonder if the Chiefs would give Mecole Hardman another chance. Mecole Hardman turned 26 years old almost a month ago, exactly a month ago. So, you know, his progress in the NFL has been very slow. I mean, he could not get going with the New York Jets. Even coming back to Kansas City, his progress, really being familiar with the Chiefs offense, still, you know, not really at a place that he wanted to be. So I'm not exactly sure what the Chiefs are going to do at that wide receiver position. I think you have to go after a wide receiver in the draft. Whether it's Mitchell out of Texas, the other receiver from Texas, Xavier Worthy, who's been getting a lot of hype and a lot of attention this offseason after breaking the NFL combine record for fastest 40 time. You know, something like that would bode very well in Andy Reid's offense. But there's a but. He does have a lot of drop issues. And that's not something you want to hear if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan. Could that somehow get fixed in Kansas City? I don't know. Speed is certainly nice. You don't have to be the fastest player. But if you look at what Next Gen Stats has put out there, and I've posted this before on social media, some of the fastest wide receivers that have clocked in at 20-plus miles per hour in-game speed, Tyreek Hill obviously is number one in that category. Number two is Hollywood Brown. And within the top five, I think number four, number five is Marquez Valdes-Scantling. The Chiefs really do a good job of, whether through the draft or free agency, bringing in super fast guys through this football team. Kadarius Toney, I remember when he was going into the draft, a lot of people were saying, don't let this guy get drafted by the Chiefs. Obviously not the case, but still found his way in Kansas City. And in his first year with the Chiefs during the 22 season, he was actually doing some really good things. Unfortunately, 2023 was a much different story for Kadarius Toney. In fact, you saw the Chiefs very likely. I know the details on that are kind of cloudy, but the Chiefs did, according to a lot of people, what a lot of people feel, they made Kadarius Toney a healthy scratch for a lot of games after that New England Patriots game where he had a ball go off his hands for another interception. Teresa asked a really good question. Where's Byron Pringle? I really like Byron Pringle. A lot of you guys probably like him as well. I know there are a lot of Kansas State fans who are listening to the podcast. So maybe the Wildcat faithful. Yeah, Randy also asked about Byron Pringle as well. So a couple of people, I've mentioned Byron Pringle before. Listen. We've seen some reunions. Blake Bell has returned to the Chiefs. Mecole Hardman returned to the Chiefs. So we've seen a couple of reunions with the Chiefs during this successful run of theirs within the last 6 years. So, listen, you're going to be without Rashee Rice for how many games? Again, I don't know. I've given you guys my guess on this. I've said anywhere from 4 to 8 games. I know that's a very, like, big picture guess right there, but I just don't know with the NFL. We know he's going to miss some time. So this is something that ultimately you're gonna have to look for a solution. Here's what I'll say, because I mentioned some of the names earlier. Could the Chiefs give some of their core guys another shot? In other words, here's what I'm getting at. And I've mentioned this in years past with the draft. Like, you and I, right now, we can sit here and talk about what the needs are for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think a lot of us would agree, in whatever order you think it is, a lot of us would agree that it's wide receiver, left tackle, probably a defensive interior, maybe some cornerback depth, maybe some linebacker depth. Just putting a couple things out there. But the team itself, the team might not view their needs the same way we do. They might think, and I was thinking about this the other day too, they might honestly feel that Wanya Morris could be a solution at left tackle. He looked good for a couple of games, also looked really bad for a couple of games as well. When Donovan Smith came back, he was okay. Not as terrible as he was during the regular season. I thought he stepped up a little bit in the postseason. As far as wide receivers go, you really don't have anyone that's proven themselves behind Rashee Rice. And I'm talking about returning receivers. So obviously we're excluding Hollywood Brown. But, Justin Ross, I mean, this guy's been getting a lot of hype for a couple of years. We heard the report from Albert Breer around the same week when Justin Ross got arrested and dealt with his incident, and that he's having a very difficult time picking up the playbook. And maybe he's still on the team because the Chiefs do not want to give up on a guy like him that has all this potential. A guy who was supposed to go in the first round prior to his injuries. So I'm not very sure what the Chiefs are going to do with the wide receiver position. The only reason I mention all of this is we never know what the Chiefs might be thinking. So hypothetically, if the Chiefs do not draft a wide receiver within the first two rounds, that tells me that they're very confident in who they have behind Hollywood Brown until Rashee Rice returns. And I guess if you want to look at the suspension from a positive standpoint, this is someone that's going to be well-rested, hopefully going to be certainly going to be active physically, going to be taking care of himself, going to be training alone until it's time for him to be allowed to come back to the training facility. But in the meantime, who is going to pick up the slack for Rice? Because your hope was that you have Hollywood Brown, you have Rashee Rice, and you have Travis Kelce as your three primary targets through the year. And one of those guys is going to be taken away for at least a few games. So I'm not really sure exactly what's going to happen at that spot right there. Muhammad says Tyler Boyd. Yeah, a lot of talk about Tyler Boyd right there. I'll say this. I would not be surprised one bit if Tyler Boyd goes back to Cincinnati, because there are a lot of rumblings out there that T. Higgins and the Bengals have not been in contact. No communication at all this offseason through the franchise. Now, reports don't always end up being true. So you never know with that kind of a thing. I've always said that I think T. Higgins is going to stay there. I mean, what situation can you find outside of maybe Kansas City? Obviously, if you're Cincinnati, you're not trading Higgins to Kansas City. You're not trading him to Buffalo, though Buffalo is pretty desperate for some depth. They've got Shakir, but you're going to need multiple key pass catchers in today's NFL. That's why the Chiefs went after Hollywood Brown, so they could have that three-headed monster. And I think that three-headed monster, at the very least, provided that no one gets hurt and everyone stays healthy, that that three-headed monster will be together and active going into the playoffs, because we are expected to see the Chiefs in the playoffs, right? That is certainly a possibility. Teresa is asking about J.K. Dobbins. Yeah, so J.K. Dobbins, he visited Kansas City, and on the same day, Clyde Edwards-Helaire re-signed with the Chiefs. A lot of people were surprised by that. I saw Chase Daniels comment on this, and he believes that J.K. Dobbins was used as leverage to get Clyde Edwards-Helaire to resign. Listen, I don't know. I won't dismiss the possibility, but right now you have Isaiah Pacheco, you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, you have Luis Rhys-Zamit, who a lot of people are very excited about. But ultimately, Denarik Prince, still on the team as well, LaMichael Pirine. So I'm not going to dismiss that possibility. You know, as someone mentioned earlier, too, in the chat, Jerick McKinnon is still out there. The Chiefs, two off seasons ago, they re-signed Jerick McKinnon in June. And then last year, they re-signed Jerick McKinnon just a couple of days after the draft. So Jerick McKinnon, his offseason activity the past couple of years has been kind of interesting, where he does not re-sign with the Chiefs until after the draft. So I'm curious to see what the Chiefs and Jerick McKinnon do after the draft. So we'll see what happens there. Somebody else had a really good question. Chase Claypool, Muhammad mentioned. I thought I saw someone else. T. Higgins said he didn't want to play with KC. I mean, I can understand that. Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people mention ideas for certain wide receivers. Look, I think all options are on the table if you're Kansas City. You have to really think about what could be out there in expectation that Rice is going to be suspended. And again, here's a weird thing. I've said this before, and I don't mean to keep going back to this. We don't know when the suspension is going to come down. I remember Sean Smith, not the nose tackle, the quarterback, when he was with the Chiefs. He had a DUI incident where he ran over a light pole downtown in Kansas City, and he ended up getting 3 games. But if I recall correctly, we waited more than a year for that suspension to be finally announced. So sometimes these things get announced in less than a year, sometimes more than a year. Yeah, Jeremy's mentioning A.D. Mitchell. A lot of people very excited about that. Steven's mentioning Odell Beckham Jr. You can't really dismiss that. I know a lot of people don't want OBJ. Listen, I thought OBJ actually did well in Baltimore, and consider who the quarterback was, okay? Lamar Jackson. That is a run-heavy team. You don't see a lot of run-heavy teams in the NFL anymore. So maybe that was a place Odell Beckham Jr. went back to try to kind of get reacclimated a bit, get his feet wet again after the long inactivity that he had. But, man, I would not be opposed one bit if OBJ came to Kansas City. Do I expect it? No. But again, I think, like I said a minute ago, all options are on the table. Yeah, Richard's asking about Nico Remigio. This is a guy that I don't think he's made the 53-man roster, but he's been around on the team for quite some time. By the way, this is kind of a good segue because we saw Patrick Mahomes training in Texas with his trainer, Bobby Stroop, who, got a lot of attention on the Netflix series Quarterback. But we also saw Rashee Rice and Hollywood Brown there working out with the team. And now we've seen a lot of other receivers and other players go in there and work out with the rest of the players. We've seen Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Nico Remigio, a lot of players on the team. Shane Buechel, former Chiefs quarterbacks there. Chris Oladokun is there, working with the team. So there are a lot of players with the Chiefs, which is obviously very nice to see. Sorry, I'm just reading an update here. it's regarding Travis Kelce's podcast. Nothing too big, but you got a lot of guys that are working out in Texas with the team, so that is good to see. I'm glad to see that, especially Hollywood Brown, because he has not been with the Chiefs before. He's never played with Patrick Mahomes before. It's important to get that timing down, try to get into a rhythm, try to understand each other on the field, that kind of thing. And then when it's time to get OTAs underway, when it's time to get training camp underway, they'll have a pretty good idea of each other. And obviously, when you're actually facing a defense in the preseason, you'll have a little bit more of an understanding then as well. Remember, Juju Smith-Schuster kind of got off to a slow start with the Chiefs in 2022 with the offense. And eventually he picked it up and got going, then took a bit of a setback with that concussion he dealt with, but then kind of picked it back up again in the playoffs. So I don't be surprised if Hollywood Brown gets off to a little bit of a slow start with the Chiefs first couple of weeks, but I would bet by week three, they've got a lot of things down. I mean, Hollywood Brown is a great football player, has some skill sets very similar to Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes has worked with a lot of speedy guys before. Obviously mentioned just Tyreek Hill a moment ago, Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster. So I'm sure it won't take a very long time for Mahomes and Brown to get things down. And it's going to be important for them to be pretty good on the field together, rapport-wise, because, again, the big reason we're even having this conversation is Rice is going to be suspended for a few games. We certainly expect. All right, I do want to move on here and talk about a comment made by a former 49ers player. So former 49ers safety Dante Whitner, he's also played for the Bills and a couple of other teams. He was on Kay Adams' YouTube show, Up in Adams, and said that the 49ers lost the Super Bowl for various reasons. He says that the 49ers were going up against the refs, they were going up against Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs. So here we go. Listen, I made a joke during the eclipse that that I posted a picture of the moon, and I said, hey, if you zoom in, you'll see Kyle Shanahan blowing another 10-point lead in the Super Bowl. And I got a couple of comments saying, Farzine, let it go. It's been a couple months. We got to move on. And I said, okay, fair enough. Fine. And I don't agree with it, actually. You guys know me. I'm a bit of a shit stir. But lo and behold, we are not quite moving on from Super Bowl 58 just yet, because Dante Whitner believes that Taylor Swift and the refs played a big part in the Kansas City Chiefs beating the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. He says that if you go look at the tape, that you will see Chiefs offensive linemen bear hugging 49ers players. Yeah, because the same thing was not happening to Chris Jones. Taylor Swift, boy, she really got involved in this game. Taylor Swift, both teams, by the way, penalized 6 times, 15 more penalty yards in force on the Chiefs than the 49ers, but you know, let's blame the refs. Okay. Blame the refs. Let's keep going here. I like this game. The 49ers, they got away with an illegal man downfield penalty on a touchdown play. They also blew a 10-point lead. That's also on Taylor Swift. I can't believe we're giving Taylor Swift this much credit. Can't believe she didn't win Rookie of the Year either, if we're going to give her this much credit. The Chiefs, by the way, only had one touchdown in regulation, and it was off of a very, very lucky, if we're being honest, a very lucky turnover there on special teams, where the 49ers player did nothing wrong. Just, you know, it's always weird. Like, bad punts sometimes can be a good thing if you're the punting team, depending on which direction the ball goes towards. So, that's on Taylor Swift. We're going to give her credit for that. Let's see. Oh, yeah, the PAT that was blocked. The 49ers kicker who could not make the PAT. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing right here. Look, I have the evidence. Taylor Swift blocked the PAT. Look, she was on the field. We missed it. Oh, how could we miss this? Look at her. She's jumping higher than George Karloftis. Look at those two hands. Guys, Taylor Swift, man, she was Rookie of the Year. Didn't get a single vote. Got robbed. Completely robbed. You know what else was Taylor Swift's fault? That the 49ers did not know the rules in overtime. You know what's funny is, I'm not saying that anyone on the 49ers team was bitching about the refs, but after the whole Kadarius Toney offside penalty, Mahomes and Reed both lashed out at the refs, and they paid a price for that. Literally, they paid the price for that. And everybody mocked Mahomes and Reed for crying about the officiating. And I was here Listen, you guys know me, man. I don't like criticizing officials. Are officials terrible? Yes, they are bad. And I pointed it out many times. But they're not the reason for wins and losses. Remember the Titans playoff game where the Chiefs forced a fumble on Mariota, but they called it forward progress, and people felt like that screwed the Chiefs over? That did not screw the Chiefs over. That was a horrific call, 1,000%. But that's not why the Chiefs lost. The Chiefs lost because they blew an 18-point lead at home in the playoffs, didn't score a single point in the second half to the Titans. That's why they lost that football game. And I got so much pushback from that, from Chiefs fans. Listen, I just don't like blaming the refs. Buffalo Bills fans did this after after the recent playoff game, in addition to injuries, as if the Chiefs weren't dealing with injuries. Cincinnati Bengals fans, I mean, that's they did the same exact thing after losing the AFC title game. After all the shit talk, like Burrowhead and all that stuff, the mayor and all the things he said, and then you want to cry about the refs after the game, like, it's a pretty pansy move if we're being completely honest there. So, listen, 10 years ago, if you told me that the Chiefs would be in the center of this controversy where they're like accused of getting away with things with the refs, I would have said, you are smoking crack. Listen, we are living in a era, no pun intended, we're living in an era right now where the Chiefs are in the middle of a conspiracy theory and people think the Chiefs are being pushed to Super Bowl victories so Taylor Swift can endorse Joe Biden. Because Taylor Swift evidently needs a specific NFL team to win so she can endorse her preferred political candidate. Like, come on. Does that not make sense at all? Really? Come on. Like, let's use our brains a little bit. I know deep down inside a lot of people don't really believe the shit they spew. Here's my thing. Because, listen, I know people from high school, college, wherever. People who I've met and I'm Facebook friends with them. I'll give you an example. So I know of a couple. They're big Mizzou fans. And every single time Mizzou loses, and I'm not making fun of Mizzou, even though I'm a Jayhawk, this is not me making fun of Mizzou. This is just an example I'm giving here. Every single time Mizzou loses a game, football or basketball, they always go straight to their Facebook accounts and they bring up the refs. It's like, okay, at some point it's not the refs. It's almost like when that kid is playing Madden and he keeps throwing interceptions and he's blaming it on his controller or the game glitching. It's like, no, dude, if you keep throwing interceptions, that is on you. It's not the game, okay? You are just terrible at the game. Just admit the fact that your preferred team to lose was the Chiefs, and they didn't lose. Just admit the fact that you lost money on the game. I had a clown on Twitter the other day. I commend his commitment to this idiocracy here, but he is going on and on about how the Chiefs got away with penalties and the 49ers. They never broke any rules in this game. Like they played a clean football game. Bullshit. Complete BS. Is Taylor going to bang the drum this year? She should. She's evidently the People's Rookie of the Year. I would imagine, by the way, you have to make that happen at some point. You know Arrowhead is going to go fucking insane if she is over there to bang the drum. I mean, come on. That would be great. Listen, I just don't like the referee excuse. I've never liked it at all. I remember in 2014, when the Chiefs lost to the Cardinals, there were a couple of bad calls that hurt KC in that football game, but I never thought that was a reason why they lost. I mean, listen, there are so many variables, so many reasons why teams win and lose in sports. And by the way, another thing too is the penalty on Bradbury, which still gets brought up to this day. What did people say? Let them play. You can't call that. People did that with Caitlin Clark on Friday, last Friday, with that offensive foul on UConn. It's like, wait a minute, what does let them play mean? To my understanding, it means that when there's less than a minute left in the game, you cannot, you pretty much don't follow the rules. You don't call penalties or blow the whistle, which makes no sense. Everyone wants the let them play rule to be enforced unless it's their team that gets favored from it. It's always hilarious to me. And then, by the way, what happened in the Chiefs-Vikings game in week 5 this year? L'Jarius Sneed may have got away with some contact there. They, quote-unquote, let them play, and the let them play crowd still bitched about it. So, again, at the end of the day, it's just like, you know, they're just crying because their preferred team did not win the game. So, Dante Whitner, quit crying. Your team lost. Oh, by the way, I forgot this. Weren't the 49ers already coming up with preemptive excuses before the game, such as the 6 a.m. fire alarm, which they already had to be up at 6 a.m. anyway? the field conditions. Oh yeah, the narrative that the Chiefs were using the Raiders practice fields and that the 49ers were using, I think it was UNLV's practice facility. But the year before Super Bowl 57, the Chiefs were using a college team's field. I can't remember if it was Arizona or Arizona State, but one of those teams. It's like, oh, interesting. No one said anything a year ago, but people had a lot to say in, when the Super Bowl was in Vegas and how the Chiefs were using an NFL team's facility. Yeah, very interesting. Very interesting. A couple other news and notes here. Like I said, not going to be a very long podcast. By the way, if you guys have a question, ask it right now. Because this is not going to be a very long podcast and we can definitely make some time for questions here. We're doing the Red Friday live chat tomorrow, but we can still make time for that. Timmy has been asking, what about the hip tackling? Yeah, it's pretty bad. We already went over this. I don't know why the NFL feels the need to make so many changes every offseason with the rules, but this is a weird one here, and I think it's great for offenses. It's great for running backs like Derrick Henry and Isaiah Pacheco, who welcome the contact with defenders. It's not good for the defenders, not one bit, not one bit. Yeah, keep asking away. Like I said, we don't have much more to discuss here, so if you guys want to ask questions about anything, comment below. Ask your questions. I'll get to it in a moment. Real quickly, so the Chiefs begin their offseason workout program on Monday. So for those who don't know how this works, this is not OTAs, to be clear. This is the offseason workout program. Teams that have a new head coach, they're allowed to start 2 weeks earlier, so generally the first week of April. Teams that have a returning head coach, by the way, to be clear about the new head coach, it doesn't have to be a first-year head coach. I know Raheem Morris, NFL head coaches. Who are some of the teams that hired a new head coach? I know the Falcons hired a new head coach. Yeah, I mentioned Raheem Morris. List of current NFL head coaches. So, okay, yeah, Jim Harbaugh, for example. He's been an NFL head coach before, but he is on a different team. He's in a different team. Same with Dan Quinn. So those guys can still start offseason workout programs a little sooner, a couple of weeks sooner than teams that have a returning head coach, to be clear on all of that. But anyway, the Chiefs do return Monday, meaning Andy Reid, the coaches, the athletic staff, the training staff, the players are going to be there, including Rashee Rice. So the two big questions, now media availability will take place. Andy Reid will speak to the media. I'm sure he will open up saying that he cannot comment on the Rashee Rice incident. And there might be one or two questions on that. And that will probably get shut down pretty quickly by Andy Reid. However, and this topic has kind of died down lately. In fact, I don't think I've seen a comment about it on tonight's podcast from any of you guys. Will Clark Hunt and or Mark Donovan be available to speak to the media? Because we have not heard the Chiefs say a word about the vote that failed from their end on the vote failure there. Because a lot of people are wondering and speculating what's going to happen to the Chiefs and the Royals. Now, the Royals did put out a statement. John Sherman, the owner of the Royals, his wife also had some very big things to say on her Facebook page. She basically said that the Chiefs and the Royals will never work with Jackson County ever again. Mayor Quentin Lucas, he announced on Twitter that he met with John Sherman. So we've heard all of that. We are not hearing anything about the Chiefs. The only thing the Chiefs did was retweet from the Jackson County Yes Vote account that the vote did not pass. That's all the Chiefs have done in regards to this topic with the stadiums. So now I don't think Clark Hunt will be there, but there is this thing out there called Zoom, so they can definitely do a press conference with him virtually, because we do need to hear from Clark Hunt. This was an utterly, terribly run campaign by the Chiefs and Royals, and we haven't heard anything from Clark Hunt's side of this, from the Chiefs in general. Now, I mentioned Mark Donovan in there as well, because the watch party that the Yes campaign had, John Sherman was there, but the Chiefs rep was Mark Donovan, not Clark Hunt, because Clark Hunt spends his time in Dallas. That's where he lives. Now, I'm not sure if it's exactly in Dallas, but in the Texas, in the state of Texas. So, we haven't heard the Chiefs say anything, and I'd like to hear something on this from the Chiefs, because there's a lot of questions that need to be answered regarding the campaign and how poorly it was run, the unwillingness to want to speak to the community and answer questions from them, and the future of the team. What is going on there? I really would love to know what the Chiefs are going to say about that, if they're available. I'm sure Andy Reid will be asked at least something about this. Now, Andy Reid does not run this campaign. He was just there to endorse it and vote for the Chiefs and Royals to get what they want. So, well, let's see what happens there. Okay, last thing I want to touch on here. I don't know if he was like the leader of Chiefs Kingdom or what his title with the kingdom is, if he's been exiled from Chiefs Kingdom, but Chiefsaholic in the news recently, the judge has ordered that Chiefsaholic must pay the bank teller in Bixby, Oklahoma, the one that got him busted. He must pay that bank teller $10.8 million. Here's the crazy thing. Because if you're in jail, you're not working. And the only way you can maybe muster up $10.8 million is if you rob a bank. Unfortunately for Chiefsaholic, he's in the pickle that he's in because he's been robbing banks. So if he somehow comes up with $10.8 million, I think there are going to be a lot of people questioning, where the fuck did you get that $10.8 million? That bank teller is not going to see a dollar of that amount that she is owed from Chiefsaholic. Just no way. No way. By the way, this bank teller did tell her side of the story because there's a civil suit going on there as well. So she actually quit her job the next day or two after the incident happened because she just had PTSD from the whole thing, which I completely understand. Like, you had a gun to your face. I know people are saying, oh, it was a CO2 pistol. Yeah, you don't know that in the moment. And she wants a job where she can work from home because she just cannot mentally handle being in a public space ever again as a worker. Listen, my heart goes out to this woman. Like, that's unfortunate. And if your demands are that you need to work from home, well, good luck, because a lot of businesses have kind of moved away from that. Yeah, there are still some people who work from home, but with the pandemic now behind us, people are kind of back in person doing whatever. So that's not easy finding a job where you can work from home 5-6 days a week, whatever, you know, this person's willing to work. But to I'm just curious, like, how did the judge come up with that number? You must pay her almost $11 million. A very unrealistic number that if you somehow come up with the money for it, we're going to have a lot of questions about how you got this money. I mean, it's just not going to make sense. I don't know. That's just a very unfortunate matter, but listen, I've said this many times already. Like, I don't know what his Chiefsaholic's like motive was, what the end game was. I mean, how do you by the way, the fact that he took off his ankle monitor and bolted out of the house that he was on house arrest for, or hotel, whatever it was, and then he went and robbed two more banks at least. Like, dude, I kind of hate to say it, but I'm impressed. This guy was playing Grand Theft Auto 5 live. Oh, boy. Irvin's asking, who do you think the Chiefs will draft? I got to go with Xavier Worthy. I know left tackle is a much bigger need. You got to protect your franchise quarterback's blind side. But I think, you know, the two biggest needs, in my opinion, are left tackle and wide receiver. And there are a lot of good left tackles and wide receivers in this draft that you can find with the 32nd pick and the 64th pick. Now, obviously, that's pre-trade potentially. So I think the Chiefs will. I just don't see the Chiefs passing up on Xavier Worthy. I really, really don't. And if the Chiefs get word that there's another team trying to get him, I could see the Chiefs trying to, you know, do a little bit of fighting and clawing to try to trade up and secure Xavier Worthy. That'd be interesting to see. That'd be very interesting to see. Do you believe that the fact that the Chiefs and Kelce have not signed an extension is a sign 2024 could be his last season? Yeah, possibly. I mean, it would not surprise me. When you look at Travis Kelce, he turns 35 in October. So he's getting to that point right now. He's been battling through a lot of injury. The guy fought through a knee injury and an ankle injury and also an elbow injury. I mean, you know, he's getting up there in age, of course. And by the way, I don't think he played bad last year. For all the people saying, oh, he's washed up, he's more focused on his relationship and clout and all these things, it's like, wait a minute. He was still one of the better tight ends last season. And he was just, you know, 16 yards away from 1,000 yards. But the Chiefs did the smart thing, and they rested him in that Week 18 game. And I think that really, that de facto bye week was huge because Kelce played lights out in the playoffs. The first half of that Super Bowl, terrible. Second half, Kelce was a monster. Kelce dominated in the first half against the Ravens. Also played very well in the Buffalo Bills game, too. He drew a lot of attention in the Miami Dolphins game. The Rashi Rice touchdown, I mean, that was due to Kelce drawing a lot of attention from Miami defenders. So Kelce played a lot better in the playoffs, I thought. So if he can avoid, injuries, especially early on, I think he could go back to having a 1,000-yard season in 2024. But as far as, you know, his last season, would not shock me. He's got a Hollywood career. Even before the Taylor Swift relationship, this guy already signed an agency in the Hollywood industry. So, you know, he's on his way to doing bigger things, and it's going to be less stress emotionally, physically, mentally for him. So, you know, enjoy Travis Kelce while he's still around, because I would not be surprised if we only see him for one or two more years. I know he keeps saying that he can do this longer, but, you know, what's he going to say? Is he going to say, I'm getting tired of this. I'm going to be stopping pretty soon. No, of course not. Do you think the Chargers are going to be a serious threat? Listen, I really, really like Jim Harbaugh. I do. I think that's a great hire. The thing is, how many head coaches has Justin Herbert played for so far? I remember, when guys like Derek Johnson, Tom Bahali, when they were in Kansas City, Jamal Charles, none of them are quarterbacks, but still very important pieces for your team. Those guys went through a lot of coordinators and coaches, and those guys stayed in Kansas City for a very, very long time. That can, you know, have an effect eventually. I do think the Chargers are going to be the second best team in the division. I really do. I think Brandon Staley, yeah, look, he's a good coach, but my God, his Achilles heel was all of those fourth down attempts. Dude, take the point sometimes, man. I think no one likes to, to pick a field goal over a touchdown. Nobody. But sometimes you just got to do the smart thing and take the points. Look at the Chiefs. In the Bengals game, in the Dolphins playoff game, in the Super Bowl, they settled for a lot of field goals instead of touchdowns, and that paid off. You know, sometimes drives just don't end the way you want them to. That's why we have kickers. That's why we have the opportunity to score field goals in this game. So, but anyway, we're getting off topic here. I do think Brandon Staley, or excuse me, Jim Harbaugh is the guy to give the Chargers the second best record in the division. I do. Listen, the Broncos are not going to do anything. They're just not. And if you're Sean Payton, good luck. Imagine paying Russell Wilson $40 million to not play for you. And then the Raiders, okay, they got a nice little defensive line. Who's on your offense? Devontae Adams, okay. You better hope the quarterback you get, and they have to draft a quarterback, because if they don't, they'd be dumb. But the Raiders, you better hope their quarterback, you know, ends up like C.J. Stroud or Joe Burrow or Josh Allen, or, you know, if you want to really shoot for the stars, Patrick Mahomes, I guess. So, I don't know. Let's see. Do you believe Butker and Creed Humphrey and Nick Bolton get extensions before training camp? Humphrey and Bolton, maybe. What's Butker's contract situation here? I am looking at a baseball player. What the hell? Harrison Butker. Because I know Butker signed a 5-year deal. I just don't remember exactly when it was. Yeah, 2024. So Butker is going into the final year of his deal. And he is not going to be easy to re-sign, because he is a damn good kicker. He only missed 2 field goals all year, and he made all of his PATs. One of them was a deflated football situation, and the other one was just a bad kick by him. So outside of that, he's made every single kick. And last year in the AFC Championship game, he made the game-winning field goal from a long distance. The Super Bowl against the Eagles, game-winning field goal. In this year's Super Bowl, he made the game-tying field goal to force overtime. And obviously was used a lot this year when the Chiefs' offense was not playing as well as it should have. So he's not going to be very easy to retain. Here's the thing with Bolton. I think he could be the odd man out, and I know a lot of people don't want to hear that because he's a guy who went to a local college in Mizzou. But you have Drew Tranquil signed for the next 3 years. And I think the Chiefs have to prioritize their offensive line, because right now you don't have a left tackle. You have Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, who are heading into the final years of their rookie situations. So those are some guys that you got to find a way to keep long term. 100%. Quentin says they will revote on the Chiefs renovations in November without the Royals being tied to it. Yeah, they probably should. Listen, I'm seeing some speculation out there that the Chiefs wanted this to fail. Maybe that's why they did not have a really good showing for their sales pitch. I don't know. I'd like to think if something is on the ballot, you don't intentionally want to lose. Here's what you got to understand, because you're in a division where you play the Chargers and the Raiders. When you go to SoFi or when you go to Allegiant Stadium, those are two really nice stadiums. I've never been to SoFi. I would imagine some of you have. I mean, those are some damn nice stadiums there. And you've got to find a way. You've got to do this right. Because the renovation projects, which, by the way, the upgrades were very underwhelming. I don't even know if I would even call them upgrades. You're going to upgrade the video boards, which are just fine. And then you're going to add like table seats behind one of the end zones. I don't know why you're taking away seats to do that for premium seating. I don't like that. VIP entrances, who cares? These were not upgrades. And apparently the cost was $800 million. Yikes. That's pretty bad. If we're going to spend a lot of money, let's do it right. And I know, listen, I understand, I've said this before, I understand Clark Hunt has a very emotional attachment to the traditions of the Chiefs, to the point where he will not even consider alternate jerseys because he wants to keep the colors they have now, that they've had forever, basically. And he doesn't want to a roof over Arrowhead for a couple of reasons. One, he wants the January advantage. Okay, but I'm sure your players would like otherwise. And two, I think part of it for the Chiefs is the flyover is such a huge tradition at Arrowhead. But man, when you listen, I've been to Allegiant Stadium a couple of times. Okay. What's going on? Can you guys hear me? Oh, I don't know. What's going on? We good? I think I'm here. Okay. We might need to wrap this up because it is, let's just say the Wi-Fi is a little iffy right now. I'll try to answer a few more questions. But anyway, I've been to Allegiant Stadium a couple of times. Dude, the stadium is beautiful. It really is. When you come in, listen, Arrowhead has the best environment, but Allegiant and SoFi are better stadiums. You got to keep up with the times. And if you're going to spend money, do it right, which probably means having a dome, because you can get Super Bowls and Final Fours and WrestleManias and all these other major events, big concerts. You know, a lot of big name popular singers go to stadiums and do multiple nights, and Kansas City could be that destination. Whether you do it in Jackson County, by the Legends, wherever. If you're going to spend money, do it right. The idea the Chiefs proposed, that was not doing it right. That was a terrible, I mean, that you're basically speedrunning a terrible way to spend $800 million. No. $500 of it from Jackson County taxpayers. No. Be better about it. Quentin says, I think he got too greedy and that's what got him caught. Yeah, you were referring to Chiefsaholic, man. I don't know. It's just, you know, those are the decisions he made. And I think the whole social media thing and all the attention it gave him, and he kind of admitted this in the ESPN documentary, maybe got the best of him. Timothy says, what left tackle do you like in the draft? I really like Patrick Paul out of Houston. I really, really like him. Played very well at Houston and at left tackle. I think he'll be available in the second round too. So late second round, that is. Do we draft another tight end? Maybe on day three? Because they signed Irv Smith. They have Noah Gray back. I don't know if Blake Bell's coming back. Maybe you draft one in the later rounds because you want to have that depth right there. Since Blake Bell and Jody Fortson are not coming back. And I'm really disappointed about the whole Jody Fortson thing. I think the guy has very good potential. And a guy who was very low on the depth chart, I thought was putting up good numbers around 2021, I think it was. 2020 or 2021, I can't remember. But man, he just has been dealing with a lot of injuries. So, you know, when that's happening, you kind of have to move on from him. Bob says the division is going to be a lot tougher this year. We have to take care of business. I think the Chargers will be better. I don't think the Raiders and Broncos will be good. I just don't see it at the end of the day. Lights out and a standout dude. Glad I got to meet him when he played at Zoo. Oh, you're referring to Nick Bolton. Yeah, man, I've heard a lot of great things about Nick Bolton. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. You got to meet him there. Not at $1 billion. Yeah, that's a lot. Have I been to Allegiant Stadium, Janet? Is that what you're asking? Yeah, I have a couple of times. Once for a concert and the other for the Chiefs Raiders game this past year in Allegiant Stadium. So for the concert, you know, because, you know, concerts, the lights were out pretty much the entire time. So you couldn't really see the stadium itself from your seat. But in terms of like the concourses and all of that stuff, man, it's really nice. You got to give it up to the people. And I think there was a company in Kansas City that was responsible for the construction there too. So it's a great stadium. It really is. So that's why I keep saying, man, the Chiefs have got to do it right. Learn from, listen, we are in a copycat world. If you want to do a podcast, learn from other podcasters, do what they do, but do it better. Okay. If you want to copy someone else's offense, do what they do, but do it better. Same thing here. Do what other stadiums are doing, but find a way to make it better and bigger. Jackson County has a lot of serious issues right now. Yeah, they do, Bob. Especially with the property tax and the amount of time people have to wait in line. I know that was a big complaint. There was this big discussion about inflation recently and, you know, how much of that has been playing a factor in people wanting to vote no on the Chiefs and the Royals. So, yeah, man, it's the iffy Wi-Fi. I hate it. It's we had one very serious issue with the Wi-Fi once. Fortunately, not again. Why not do a dome that can open and close the roof? Well, here's the thing. You're talking about a retractable roof, and I agree. Now, if you want that quote-unquote January advantage that Clark Hunt says, it doesn't make sense to have a retractable roof and leave it open in January. It just doesn't. You have to close it. But you can leave it open for pregame for the flyover because that is, again, a huge part of Arrowhead. Now, I don't know... with a retractable roof, if certain people are going to be able to see, because how much of the stadium, and I'm talking about, you know, the structure here, which is beyond my pay grade, but, you know, how much of it can people from the rafters really see? Aren't they still going to be somewhat under the dome, even if the roof is open? I don't know how all of that works. That is for people in that industry to figure out. Yeah, a lot of people are saying they don't think they want it to be tied with the Royals. Here's my thing. I think they wanted to work together to push the Patrick Mahomes. Like, they wanted to use Patrick Mahomes as the enticing tool here. Listen, whenever, we're having an election coming up this year. Whenever the DNC and the RNC is occurring, you're going to see a lot of celebrities endorse Donald Trump and Joe Biden. Why? Because Trump and Biden want those endorsements because they know that their followers might just follow them. Just because your favorite singer or your favorite athlete endorses someone, they might follow suit. Dana White, the president of the UFC, he has been endorsing Trump for years. Why? Well, they're friends. That's one thing. Two, Donald Trump definitely wants Dana White's endorsements because he knows that a lot of UFC fans might follow Dana White and just vote because Dana White said so. That is a real thing. I think people kind of underestimate. That does not work on me personally. I'm not going to let a celebrity tell me what to do. I'll make my own decision for my own reasons. But they use Patrick Mahomes as a marketing tool, essentially. And here's the thing. You have Patrick Mahomes and you have Travis Kelce, maybe the two biggest superstars in the NFL right now. And they were used as marketing tools in these campaigns on these commercials. And you still could not get that to go your way. And it was a 16% blowout here. So, I don't know. I'm not sure what the Chiefs are going to do in their second attempt. What about Jacob Caboose out of North Dakota State? I'll be honest, I'm not really familiar with that. You know, we're talking small school there, but hey, you know, just because someone went to a small school doesn't mean they're not capable of getting the job done. But I would have to do a little bit of research on that, Jason, because I'll be honest, I'm not familiar with that name. Not Chiefs related, but any comment on the OJ passing? Oh, yeah, we didn't talk about this. No, I appreciate you bringing this up, Robert. Yeah, OJ Simpson, we learned, passed away this morning. Listen, I'm not going to be one of those people who celebrates this. I'm also not, like, sad either. I mean, listen, who knows what really, really happened? I know there's all these documentaries, and I haven't seen all of these films and whatnot on OJ. So I don't know all of the details, what didn't happen. He's got a legacy that people are not going to forget, good or bad. You know, good on the field, bad off the field. They're not going to forget it. I mean, the whole white Bronco thing is, I mean, that's like a huge deal. But people use that as memes to this day. Yeah. Timothy says they'll take OJ to the grave in a white Bronco. Oh, boy. I knew that joke was coming. I've seen it a couple times already. People actually had limbs or at least toes cut off from frost. But yeah, I know that was a thing from that Chiefs game. So, I don't know. That's Listen, man, you can never convince me to attend a game in the cold, okay? Unless it's indoors. Unless it's indoors. I went to a Chiefs-Chargers game in 2013. Dude, I was ready to leave. And that game sucked because it was cold. And we scored a touchdown under 2 minutes, if I recall. And then the Phillip Rivers and the Chargers just steamrolled the Chiefs defense. Just, and that was the same game where Justin Houston and Tom Bahali both went out. Not good. Trump gave Dana White a spot to put on. Yeah, no, that's a really good point. I mean, Donald Trump was one of the very, very, very few people who actually believed in MMA. So that's a huge reason why Dana White always has his back. But we don't really need to go into the political details there. I know that'll be a huge topic come September, October, November. It'll be a very fun time, guys. Have the Chiefs replaced the linebackers coach that retired after the Super Bowl? Have they? Let me check on that. Because sometimes they tend to be pretty quiet about these updates here. Coaches, let's see if they have that down. So I'm seeing their linebackers coach is Brendan Daly or Dolly. I'm not sure how it's pronounced. Yeah, I'm not exactly sure. I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. Any late word on what may happen with Rashi Rice? No, Kyrie, we're probably not going to know. We won't get an answer anytime soon. We know he's getting suspended. When is the suspension going to be handed down? We have no idea. The NFL is extremely inconsistent, about, these kinds of things. What about Andy's son, Britt Reed, getting to come back to coaching in the NFL? I have not heard about this. Listen, when the Chiefs fired Bob Sutton, they fired every single defensive assistant except for Britt Reed, okay? And by the way, what position was Britt Reed? What was his duty with the Chiefs, okay? In 2013, he was a defensive quality control coach. In 2015, he was assistant defensive line. In 2016 through 18, he was a defensive line coach. And then, after they fired Bob Sutton, he was demoted to linebackers, outside linebackers, assistant coach. So for a guy who has been on a defensive staff since 2013 and has moved around all these different positions here, the entire defensive staff was fired except for him because he's the coach's son. So it's a lot like Bill Self when Bill Self brought in his son, Tyler Self, to Kansas. Tyler Self was not a very good basketball player, guys. He was horrible in high school. He fouled out in a game once. I think he fouled out in like 12 minutes, which is actually very impressive if you can foul out in 12 minutes in a high school game. But why did he get to go play in the best basketball school in America? Because his dad's the coach. And he was obviously the last man on the bench, too. So, you know, nepotism. OK, that's the word here. My whole point with Britt Reed is if it's not for his dad, where would he be coaching in the NFL? Come on. Like, who would get him? Jacksonville fired Bob Sutton. What? I did not know that. Shit, man. Bob Sutton, the legend. Dude, Bob Sutton got off to a great start with this Chiefs defense. Remember 2013? Dude, that defense was fire. Derek Johnson, Holly Houston, Dontari Poe. I thought even Mike DeVito was good. I thought Tyson Jackson even looked good under Andy Reid and Bob Sutton. I mean, Eric Berry, he played even better under Andy Reid. Man, and you know, it sucks because there were so many great players on that defense, and the Chiefs did not win a Super Bowl with that defense. But hey, man, I mean, that's just the way things pan out sometimes. What do you believe The final results will be in the Rushy Rice legal case. You think he avoids prison time? Probably. I mean, you know just as well as I do, Blake, that these are celebrities who, look, I know in this country, and I know not all of you guys listening are living in the United States, but we're told that we have one set of rules and they apply to everybody, regardless of your stature, whatever. Bullshit. Okay. He won't spend time in prison. He will be suspended. My guess is anywhere from 48 games. I said six at the beginning. The marijuana in the car, it's not a good look. That could be an additional game or two. We'll see. Did I see Justin Reed trolling that Bills fan? Yes. That was awesome. I love how the Chiefs are winning Super Bowls and then other fan bases have their own Super Bowls, like the Bills. Excuse me. So the Bills, they have Josh Allen hurtling over Justin Reed. The Chargers have one of their defenders suplexing Travis Kelce. The Bengals have the 3-1 record with Joe Burrow against Mahomes. Like, that's cute. That's adorable. I love how all of these people have their own, like, impromptu Super Bowl wins, and the Chiefs are winning actual Super Bowls. So, the Raiders, their flex was beating the Chiefs on Christmas and that they host Super Bowls. And I saw someone respond to that, say, "We don't host, we hoist." Yeah, that was awesome. Okay, guys, I'm caught up on the comments here, so I'm going to get out of here. So, good episode of the Chief Zone. Obviously, not a lot of news to get into on this episode, so a much shorter episode in terms of the news. We kind of added like a Red Friday live chat into this on a Thursday. Tomorrow, we will be doing a Red Friday live chat, so not sure exactly what time, but somewhere between 6 to 7 o'clock. Just have your notifications turned on. Just make sure you're following me. Just make sure you're following, and you'll get a notification when we go live. And join in. We will do the Red Friday live chat. And I'll answer your questions. Read your comments. Whatever it is. That's what the Red Friday live chat is all about. So we will do that tomorrow night. Also, I just commented one more time. If you guys would, if you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the Chiefs Zone YouTube page. By the way, Timothy, you're asking if I'll be doing a mock draft. I've already done one, just a Chiefs mock draft, not like a full first round mock draft. I don't do that. I will be doing another Chiefs mock draft in the near future. I'm going to be using Pro Football Focus's mock draft because they have a really good system there. And it gives you a grade for the pick. So I think that's always a cool little reference, and people like to read off that. So yeah, I'll be doing one of those in the near future for sure. All right, guys, my name is Farz Masugian. Appreciate you guys joining me for this episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast. I will talk to you all tomorrow for the Red Friday live chat. I'm out. Take care.